All right, Cole, what are we doing this week?
Step right up, Gary.
I'm already here.
Oh, okay. Whew. Sorry, you snuck up on me. No, we're here at the carnival, and we've got one of those awesome games where you aim the water cannon at the balloon.
Oh, I love that thing.
Yeah.
Shoot the clown in the face.
Yeah.
The clown protester.
Yeah.
Hose him down. Clown rights are a fucking joke.
I mean, we've discussed how clown...
Idiot.
The clown scourge is spreading. We are in the midst of the clown apocalypse.
All I want to do is get the back of their throat and spray.
But I've had a couple of attendants write down the names of a bunch of different games, and they've put them inside of these balloons, and we're gonna have a good old fashioned clown balloon race.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
All right. Thing.
So here we go. Let's aim and fire. Gary, I'm taking a lead.
Let's go.
Better catch up.
Oh yeah, I know. It's whoever has the best water pressure in there. Poorly serviced clown gun is who wins.
Yep. Also, another form of randomization.
It's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
True.
And also, pretty much once you. Oh wait. Whoa.
Oh, okay.
I thought it would explode with water, but it's actually full of blood.
Oh, it's like it.
Yeah. But no. Let's see what's scrawled on the back of this. It's ill bleed, Gary.
Oh, I couldn't be happier.
Neither could I.
I honestly couldn't be happier to have played this or have it exposed to me. So, good job, balloon.
Good job, balloon. Gary, what's your name?
Gary Butterfield.
Mm-hmm. My name is Cole Ross.
You are. And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play games that you tell us to play.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're bad. Sometimes they're good. And then sometimes they're just like this unique third thing.
Yep.
That like, wait, was this on your radar? It seems like it would have been.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like okay. I didn't plan it when it was contemporary, but like I've been aware of it. It's on the list for Hex Crank, which I will get around to playing in 2050, I think.
Yeah. I don't want to brag.
Uh-huh.
But imagine I knew nothing about Ill Bleed.
Uh-huh.
Like I literally did not know a thing until the opening credits. It was a really miraculous way to come across this.
Yep.
This is really something. Who suggested this?
This was suggested by good friend of the show, Brandon Douglas.
Hey, Brandon.
His comment was, simply in quotes, "You'll vomit with excitement. You'll puke with pleasure. You'll shit with fear."
Which is from the trailer, which is amazing. Like, the trailer is like, "You'll shit in fear." It's like, what? Dreamcast trailer?
The pre-order bonus for this was an adult diaper.
Yeah, full of fear. pre-shot.
Yep, no. They had somebody at the factory just draw a spooky little ghost on it.
What if every time you shit, you're just omitting fear from your body? And that's how your body processes adrenaline and fear.
Yep. No. It's pain is weakness leaving the body. Shit is fear leaving the body.
The body. Yeah.
Which is funny because that actually ties in, like, you know, as a person who has irritable bowel syndrome and that is tied mostly to anxiety, that is not actually inaccurate.
I always point this out, and I don't think it'll ever, people who are listening to the show never hear it, but like we have, you know, our Skype connection for the last couple times we've mm-hmm. recorded, like you've been a little robot-y, but it's been easy to get through, so it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. But it means that you draw out certain words and it's great. Like you're just like, as somebody who has irritable bowels. And on the recording, it will sound fine, but it sounded like, two things. First of all, that was very funny, but second, has there ever been a Korean food cart called Irritable Bowel Syndrome where you just get those little puff dough pastry things, little angry face?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's kind of like Dick's Last Resort. They're just really short with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I would start a food cart called Irritable Bowel Syndrome.
Out of the way, asshole.
Yeah. let me get in your belly.
Yeah. No, you can open it up next to mine, which is all for nothing. Which serves pho.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the best, I've seen lots of signs of pho restaurants, but the best one, there's one in town here called @pho.com is the name of the restaurant.
is it spelled out .com, D-O-T? C-O-M?
No, no, no. Okay. It's like a full web address. It's like it starts as a Twitter and ends as a web address.
That's pretty good.
@fla.com.
Yeah, I think that food carts are definitely right up there with pet stores and vape shops for pun names.
Oh yeah.
Every Tuesday we get food trucks at work. Every Tuesday we have a great place called Quite Frankly, which sells gourmet hot dogs, which is a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And they're nice people, so I don't mind giving them a plug.
Yeah, Illbleed. I'm gonna, this isn't the last I've seen of Illbleed.
Nope.
Like I'm gonna watch I don't know if I can play it because I got to the combat and got really bummed out.
Yep.
But I think I need to find like a non-commentary like let's play of it.
It's full of so many awesome ideas.
This is jam-packed. Like this is an amazing game. That just doesn't like play very well, but it's incredible.
This is like pre-sweary kind of stuff. And it's unfortunate because so Crazy Games, this is what it's called, not Game Crazy, not the used game store. They only published two games, this and Blue Stinger. So they were like the boutique horror publisher.
Or like the knockoff horror.
Yep.
Like for Dreamcast. Like,
yeah.
Here we will sate you until Resident Evil comes out.
But the creator actually passed away in 2004.
Yeah, like not too long after this came out. This came out in 2001.
Yep.
Which is a bummer because it is like this guy's got something to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is a thing. So I don't even know how to start talking about it. Like, so it does so many things that are neat. Like it's this idea. You know, you play as this girl who's part of this high school horror movie enthusiast whose parents tortured her as a child by testing out haunted house things on her, which is why she's so into horror. And in this world, there is an amusement park called Illbleed that if you can make it through it, you get $100 million. But if not, you die. Like, it actually kills people.
Yeah, and people get, like, Willy Wonka-type tickets to this place sent out to them.
Yes. Yeah, you get sent a ticket to Illbleed, and her and her four friends go to Illbleed, or her four friends go to Illbleed, and they don't, you know, they show up missing or something. She goes looking for them, and then so that's already a pretty good premise. But then, like, when you get to Illbleed, other than just the weird, you know, shops and stuff in the town area, you're playing through little short stories, like weird little movies that have like a little trailer at the beginning, and they're all really bonkers.
Yeah,
and that's awesome.
Yeah, again, short story as structure.
Yeah, yeah. And then the gameplay is really, really strange. Like, it took me a very long time to figure out.
Me too.
What you're doing.
The tutorial is not exactly easy to find either.
Yeah, nor is it great. because it doesn't really explain this chaff thing. Mm-hmm. But I read somebody online was talking about it, and they were comparing it to Minesweeper. And that's pretty accurate. Like, it is about, like, marking locations and, like, false positives. And stuff, which is a weird, like, I've never seen, like, Minesweeper cross anything.
Right. It's like,
that's kind of what it is.
Like, another way to, you know, kind of conceptualize this, at the beginning of every story, you have to find an item called, I think it's called, like, the horror scanner or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like a set of goggles that you have to use adrenaline, which is a limited resource, to activate. And you have kind of this sensory bar, at the top of your screen that will kind of give you a hint when something is about ready to kind of jump out at you. And you have to mark these potential threats so that instead of it costing you either health or causing you to bleed or raising your heart rate, any of which, if they get critical, will cause the mission to end, you instead get adrenaline points, with the trade-off being if you accidentally mark the wrong thing, you lose adrenaline and you can actually, like, bottom out, and you can only recover.
Good. Yeah, putting on your glasses costs adrenaline.
Yeah.
So it's not like you actually get penalized for marking the wrong thing. It's just a wasted resource to mark it.
Yeah. It costs adrenaline to mark something, too. So if you mark something that is not the right thing, then it's also a little bit like the way that I kind of conceptualized it was like if Pokemon Snap went to hell.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And it's such a weird hell, too, because it's not just, like, you know, haunted house spooks. Like, sometimes it is, like, something comes out and slashes you up, really. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, the opening gambit of this game in the first level is walking under a guillotine that you can't avoid.
Right.
That hits you. Like, it's before you get your horror scanner or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're going to get guillotined if you go to this park. Like, everybody gets guillotined.
Yep.
That's why they call them the guillotines, and they run mysteries. It's all mysteries. But the it is just a weird, such a weird gameplay mode. Like, I haven't seen that before. Like, it's just about kind of knowing that the threats are there. It's not even necessarily about avoiding them, because some of them you can avoid, some of them you can't.
Mm-hmm.
But it is about just kind of figuring out something's a threat. And the way that it interacts with your senses, you have this little bar at the top that, like, triggers different senses. So, like, if you have two things marked, and one's a phone and one's a newspaper, and then as you get close, your sound sense starts tingling, you're probably, it's going to be the phone.
Yeah.
Because it's going to ring. So you know that's the real one, and the newspaper is the fake one. And that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a cool gameplay mode that is. Yeah.
And what we're talking about, like, oh, we're marking these things. If you just walk through this mansion, which is the first level, and I didn't get past the first one for the show.
No, me either. Cause,
yeah. It's really difficult. But if you just walk around, you know, willy nilly, there's going to be these jump scares that happen, and there's going to be a, like, the, you know, the string scare sound, and something ridiculously just haunted housey will happen. Either this crazy skull brain will come fly at you, where blood will come rushing out from under a door. Just a bunch of different stuff like that. And some of them are unique. Some of them are ripped off straight from, like, horror movies. Like, there's a TV that shows you scary stuff, like in Poltergeist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what you want. Like, the first time I went through, I just, like, walked through the mansion. I was like, what the fuck is this? Like,
yes,
is this just a slowly dying simulator?
Yeah.
And then I had to, like, go online and figure out what the actual gameplay consisted of.
Mm-hmm.
And then the combat. So it's like, it's a Dreamcast game. So the camera is shit. And the combat's really bad. Like, the combat I thought was, you know, not adequate to really play. Like, that's another reason why I want to watch a Let's Play of it. But I love that the way you escape from combat is, like, hanging out on a helicopter pad until a helicopter comes and picks you up and lifts you out.
Yep.
No matter where you're at. It's so weird. Like,
it's not integrated into the world at all.
No, it's very sweary.
Uh-huh.
Like, it is very, but it's, like, turned up. It's, like, past that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Sweary is like Twin Peaks, where it's like, it's weird, but it's like there's a touch of reality to make it feel actually unnerving. This is just like, you know, crank it. Like, this game just cranks it.
Rev that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The combat articulates, it's like, it's sub Silent Hill 1. Like, you just have an attack button, and fortunately it's not tank controls. You're just moving this character, this Eriko, which is a name, towards these enemies, and hoping that you can interrupt their attacks with her flailing around. I eventually found a baseball bat with a face that poked out of it and talked to me and said, you're not Jimmy, or whatever the kid's name was.
Yeah, because that's the story, is this dad who set his kid on fire, set his whole family on fire.
Some teenagers burned down his house, so he built a youth hostel and filled it with a bunch of teens and then burned it down to kill them.
Yes, and the son liked baseball.
Yep.
So that's why it's called the Home Run of Death.
Of death.
Yeah.
The podcast of death.
So it's like the combat ends up being, but my big problem with it was, you know, as you mentioned, it's like sub Silent Hill 1, but it's unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes it just pops out. Like, you're just walking and somebody jumps out of a door and there it is. Like, it's not like Silent Hill where you can do your best to avoid most combat encounters.
You're like locked into a JRPG. This is the combat zone kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a bummer. And I don't know that I can get past it to get to the other cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to, though, because it is just like, it seems like it's the kind of game where it's just going to constantly, you know, have surprises.
There's a wonderful article on Hardcore Gaming 101 that kind of goes through the different worlds, and there's some great stuff.
Yeah.
Including an episode that is based on Toy Story, but one of the main antagonists is Zonic the Hellhog.
Yes. Yeah. I'm looking at that screenshot right now of Zonic the Hellhog. If that's it, that's wonderful. You know, that's just really, really good. Very imaginative. Everything also, like, things look pretty fucking spooky in this game, even early on. Like, when you go to the shops, the weird doll creature that's running the actual store where you buy medicine is just like off. She looks like a live action Garbage Pail Kid. super spooky.
Yeah. At the hospital, like the blank faced mannequins that are the nurses.
Yeah, and then the guy, the revival section where it's just a hospital counter, but on the other hand, side, it's just filled with coffins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not enough room to put more coffins. He's just hanging out among, like, They would have had to move him in.
Yep.
With that. And then, of course, there's some unfortunate cheesecake stuff, too,
because
it's a video game from Japan, which, I mean, you know, not to be racist, but that happens a lot in Japanese video games. And it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
So you get more nude as you take damage, and it's kind of, you know, meant for titillation.
Yeah, unfortunate.
Yeah. Yep.
But, like, so the structure of this is pretty weird, too, right? Because you generally associate survival horror games with kind of a consistent world that you're kind of meant to go from safe spot to safe spot in a kind of backtracky, persistent kind of way. Because of this structure of this game being kind of like a series of short stories, like, these are meant to be kind of time-trialed a little bit. And that's a side of survival horror that I don't normally go in for. Like, the, can you maximize your time? Can you use as few first aid sprays as possible? Or I guess in this case, injections, which you just pick up needles and teen hostel beds and jam the put it in my arm. in order to kind of maximize your stuff. And so, like, this is structurally unique from other kinds of games that I've seen insofar as you are meant to optimize these.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And, like, it's funny because that is such a part of survival horror gaming, but it's the part I'm least interested in.
Same here.
But it's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, since Resident Evil 1, like, it's like you get rewards for beating it quickly. And it's a sign of, like, insecurity of game length, you know,
mm-hmm.
is what I always think of it as. Like, oh, like, our game is 6 hours long. How do we add value to it?
This puts it right up front.
Exactly,
when you start the mission,
it emphasizes it. Yeah.
It says, beat this in 50 minutes or less. Don't get your heart rate above this or so and so. I feel like there are too many ways to die in this. I feel like I'm not so much somebody who is watching this or playing it, but I am the anesthetist trying to make sure all of the meters stay correct.
Yeah. There's some real meter management stuff going on.
Yeah. But, like, even so far as, like, one of the meters, your blood or your bleeding rate and also your heart rate, there are items that can manage that. However, it will get better if you just wait around. So you're trading off your time, essentially, both playing the game and your final analysis. Here's how well you did time in order to ensure your survival through it.
Yeah, which is usually the case when you're doing a time trial. But this is just more direct.
it's literally just stand still. Like, stand still and watch these meters change.
Yeah. Not necessarily, like, be more careful.
Right.
Yeah. This is I would kill to have, like, a remake of this done to be playable.
Me too.
Like, that would be incredible. Because it's, like, it does feel, and I don't throw the word unplayable around very often, but, like, it does feel nigh unplayable to me.
Yeah. It's unkind.
You know, and
at the very least, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and just very, very, you know, it's very, very obtuse. And even, like, once I understood the actual gameplay, core gameplay loop, like, it still was very difficult and inscrutable to me.
Yeah, and that sucks because you want to see more.
It's like, I don't want to fight monsters, but I want to see them.
Yeah.
In Hellbleed, I just want to see what the next monster is, but, like, the fighting of it, it's never going to be fun. Yeah, but it's such what a unique and special snowflake this is. Like,
Yeah, like, I can't have any animosity towards it.
No. Like, it is, and it's like, I love on that Hardcore Gaming 101 article, like, the related articles are Deadly Premonition, you know, D and Michigan Report from Hell.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, like, that's, you know, that's pretty good company for this very weird, specific subgenre of games.
Mm-hmm. Like, subgenre of games I love, like Michigan Report from Hell is great.
Yeah. I haven't played it. I just know of it, but I would really like to play it. Or just watch somebody play it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was listening to the latest Retronauts. Bob Mackey was talking about how he does that pretty much with all survival horror games.
Yep.
Like, he just watches someone play it because he just wants to see the shit and not deal with any of the BS. And, like, I can respect that, even though I like survival horror.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many, it's a genre that reaches so far.
Yeah.
So it's bound to have some, like, unplayable messes.
Yeah.
Time to time.
Can I say this to get it on the record just so I'm motivated to do it?
Hmm.
I am going to revive Hexcrank.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And I want to.
Are you gonna give yourself a timeline, or just in general?
Yep, I want to have.
I want to have.
No, I want to have. I want to have something out by the end of the summer. So, like in August, I want to have kind of a new kind of thing and also a timeline. Like,
say a new kind of thing, you mean not a new entry, but a new.
I mean a new entry, and I've got a new idea for a different kind of content for it.
Oh.
Yep. So I will just leave it at that.
It's gonna be video. Yeah, not a spoiler. I'm just saying there's only so many different kinds of content. Like,
no,
sounds really mysterious, but like, yeah,
don't worry. It's gonna be video plus something else that is that is different.
Audio?
Not a format. I'm not talking about format or media. I'm talking about a different kind of thing. Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I've been taking a little bit of a break from work here recently, trying to get everything back together, both with the network and other stuff, and with a couple of other changes in my life. I have a little bit more like energy and ambition for this, so I think I want to put that out there. Look for something on that, not like real soon, but soon enough that it'll be possible.
Let's all rekindle our abandoned projects. It'll bleed inspire us to do that.
Yeah.
There's not very much online that's funny about this because it is recognized as cool as it is. You know, like I couldn't even find like angry video game nerd, like people, you know, those kind of shitty reviews. I just found like people who are like, no, it's kind of bad, but actually it's excellent.
You didn't find that one game fact? Gary,
I missed it.
go to Game Facts and
I'm there, but I missed
open up the one that looks like Lamb Yo Father. I am your father.
Okay,
I believe.
Okay, yeah, okay. I missed I am your father.
Yeah, so this is
excuse me.
No,
wow.
Oh, so many issues just unraveling at once.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that right off the bat. So boy, let's unpack this for a little bit. So Illbleed is good. You should check it out.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about I Am Your Father on Game Facts.
Yep. So here's the thing about I Am Your Father's game fact about this. It appears to be like from looking at this, it's very comprehensive. Like this person has really jumped in and owned it. And it was last updated in 03. And so this can kind of be a snapshot of the mind of a nation. So yeah. After the table of contents,
the last section on the table of contents is the denouement.
Yeah,
I saw it out this pretentious fuck.
Yep.
Game Pass asshole.
Did you find this before? Did you see this before I brought it to your attention?
No, I missed it.
Okay,
I just did not see it. So
so after the table of contents, he leads like before his introduction, there is a quote from Ann Coulter about the Muslim people that is so offensive that I'm not actually going to read it on the air.
Yeah. That's published on gamefacts.com.
Yes. In the middle. And remember, this is a haunted house video game.
Yeah, man, there's so like it keeps coming up in the Bonfireside chat, but like this kind of passion that has to be inspired by stimulus that exists within the boundaries of Illbleed.
Yep.
Like, yeah. Hi ho, everyone. I'm back in the house with another update to this monstrosity of Illbleed information. Oh, he's going to be an actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. And so. Peppered throughout this is the kind of horrific jingoism that like makes me feel like somebody who listens to our shows sometimes when we veer a little bit into the realm of politics. But there is like just some reprehensible stuff in here, just anti-Islamic. In the thanks section, he says, oh my gosh. Special thanks to God, you know, because he's God, Satan, because he's Satan. To all the smartasses, charlatans, circle jerks, illiterates, veterans, quote unquote, karma counters, especially the karma counters and other slime that pollute GameFacts.com's forums.
Quote unquote veterans. Does he mean like GameFacts veterans, or is this actually like he's very right wing, but he hates veterans? Because that would be an interesting combo. I haven't seen that kind of shiny Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like
to all the flag burning student activists infesting a college near you. Isn't it ironic? In the interest of appearing more intelligent and open minded, you expose yourselves as the dumbest bastards to ever fall off the hemp truck. The only reason you can conscientiously object, which is fine, your tax dollars speak louder than you do anyway, to our war on terror is because your granddaddy took up arms to fight for your freedoms last time around.
Why is this his venue?
Oh my god.
Like, Game Facts is the least appropriate venue for anything that doesn't have the word game or fact in it. Like, it should really just needs to be for game FAQs.
To Capcom. But Resident Evil exclusive to GameCube? Are you knucking futs? Perhaps the worst part is all the wieners who've only played Resident Evil 2 on N64. If even that! Laughing in our faces as though they had something to do with your exclusivity deal! Shame. Shame. Oh, what's this? We can have Resident Evil Online? Gee, thanks a lot. I guess now you're gonna cancel that cool Capcom All-Stars fighting game too, right? What? You did? Jeez! P.S. How many copies has Remake sold already? 1 million? 2 million? Well, you could have sold 5 or 6 million had you stuck with the PlayStation, and even more if you went multi-platform. And you've been doing business for how long? To Osama, if you're not dead already, you will be soon. Tell Allah I said hi. To Pat Robinson and the other 700 Club alumni, who no doubt was checking out the internet porn before he stumbled across us. My grandpa summed it up best. Pat Robertson is an idiot. No description suits him better. He gives civil-minded Christians everywhere a terrible name. To Saddam, you're in trouble, dude.
And please, don't bother making physical threats against me. I'm not the least bit intimidated by some milquetoast threatening to beat me up from 2,000 miles away. And don't get any ideas. You wouldn't intimidate me if I came home and saw you sitting in my Lazy Boy holding the machete. If you ever met me in person, you wouldn't quote-unquote kick my ass like you promised to do. You'd probably call me sir. Enough of the threats. You're only amusing to me. This is the worst. This is one of the worst people we've ever uncovered. Like, this is one of the grossest rocks that, like, this is a piece of petrified shit that has something crawling under it, and it's I'm your father. This is rough.
Political leaning. I prefer to look at both sides of an issue. I usually end up siding with the conservatives anyway, because the left side is full of crap.
Everything is fucking idiot except for me. Everything idiot.
To George W. Bush. Come on, we all know he's reading. I mainly do this to irritate people, but I've got to give W. some kudos as well. I know you're not an idiot. Lacking in verbal eloquence, maybe, but by no means an idiot. Fact is, idiots don't graduate from Yale and Harvard. Daddy's money may have gotten you in, but it certainly didn't get you out. Everyone's hero, Al Gore, dropped out of law school, and Ted Kennedy got expelled from Harvard. But just between us, it's pronounced nuclear, not nuclear.
What was all this Thomas Wilde brouhaha about?
I don't know who Thomas Wilde is.
I'm looking it up. He is a, let me see. Because he mentions him earlier, and then somebody, none of these Google results seem correct. Let's see if this context clue helps us. Question, what was all this Thomas Wilde brouhaha about? Answer, immediately after 9/11, I had asked Wilde what his thoughts were about the tragedy and if his anti-US stance had at all changed since then. His answer at the time surprised and offended me, though it shouldn't have. Read below to find out why. And the discussion quickly descended into verbal fisticuffs. I've done a lot of growing up since then and recently told myself, wait, this guy's not holding any position of authority over you. And if there's a God, he never will. He doesn't pay your bills and doesn't put food on your table. So why do you care if he has anything to say at all? And that was that. I completely washed my hands of him. So if any of you have been giving him grief over what he said, stop now. What is the following that this guy has?
I don't know. Also, like, in the thanks.
Like, he's really holding court.
Yep. He's letting it all hang out here in this ill bleed fact. Also, in the thanks to the people all over the world who have shown their solidarity and support for the United States after the events of September 11th. That's what, 5 people? To our soldiers who are out there putting their lives on the line to kick some terrorist butt, so the boys in blue who are working 24/7 to keep us all safe on the home front.
Guess how many files this guy has submitted to GameFAQs?
How many? One?
One. This is it. This is his thing.
So
wow, that's really something.
Yeah, he puts his full real name in this, along with like his vital stats and his likes and dislikes, but even more of a glimpse into this guy's life. To my instructor in EMS school, you know, I'm not a very hateful guy. I can name many people that I have a strong dislike for, but I don't harbor genuine hatred for most of them, except for one. I should have stabbed this man with a shiv and laughed hysterically as he bled to death. A petty, sawed-off, miserable excuse for a human being, if there ever was one. Pure scum. So, why thank him? Well, this is the guy who unintentionally taught me not to put up with anyone's bullshit, starting with his own. He told me I'd fail, and I passed just to spite him. How big of you?
I don't want to alarm you, but if this guy actually did go off to become an actor, if you go to lukedaigle.net, you can find it like an actor page for an actor named Luke Daigle. I don't know if it's necessarily the Luke Daigle, but maybe it's that Luke Daigle.
This is the worst. This is the worst we've seen. It's the worst we've done. Like, believe what you
this
want.
This is really bad. I'm trying to find something that, you know, indicates that this is the same Luke Daigle. Let's check out his resume.
In his credits. Extra in Law and Order, Law and Order SVU.
Oh, his film and television credits. Chicago PD, the series. Walgreens corporate video as customer. Mm-hmm. Good job. You take whatever you can take.
Oh yeah, no, it's
it's
fine.
But I'm really curious if this is the same Luke Daigle. Because here's the thing, I just googled him expecting him to have performed a shooting.
Oh,
so I was really expecting that. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I was just like, oh, this guy's like, you know, not expecting, but like, I wouldn't have been surprised.
This would be his manifesto.
Yeah.
The ill bleed manifesto.
Yeah. we just uncovered it.
Wow.
Yeah, this guy's really bad. We have to find more cricks. Like, if we ever have that great, you know, battle in the sky between the allies of abject suffering and the enemies of abject suffering that we have, like, we need more on the crick side, because we're really, I feel like we're not doing great as far as good people.
We're amassing enemies.
We are really amassing enemies. So there's another Luke Daigle I found who looks like he is leftist. So I don't think this is the Luke Daigle, but it's not a very common name. Like, it's either the actor Luke Daigle or this Luke Daigle, and I don't think it's this Luke Daigle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the actor Luke Daigle. Maybe he's grown up since then.
Maybe, hopefully. I mean, everybody, like, we all have that chance.
Yeah. But luckily, like, unluckily for him, this is just, it's just here.
Yeah.
To all the geeks and fanboys everywhere, Jesus Christ, I wouldn't take a trip to a burn unit as seriously as you take insert obsession here. Why don't you pull the corn cob out of your ass and enjoy whatever it is you enjoy like a normal human being? It's really not all that important. God gave you a life, so live it already.
Which is not unlike things we have said.
No, but I mean, we don't put it on GameFAQs.
Well, no, we just put it out there on our own website.
Well, no, but I mean, I like to think that we're not so different, us and you, Luke Daigle.
I'm not trying to draw that comparison, but just like reading this, I was like, what in the world is this doing in the middle of this thing? And then I could see just stick to games, guys, like as being the usual mantra that we are greeted with.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm trying to be at least a little bit introspective, even if it's more introspection than it deserves.
Yeah.
But yeah, much venom is within this, and it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, he's just really just spouting. Like, this is everywhere, you know, this is his one podium. This is really intense.
Well, it was 2003, so it was before most major blogging software.
Yeah. Well, that's like, he could have had a live journal.
I suppose.
Or this, or just like a piece of paper, or like, you know, a buddy.
Yeah, like John Doe from Seven.
Yeah, exactly. Like a series of hundreds of notebooks. Yeah, this guy's pretty rough. This is I think I like Illbleed less now.
Because this guy likes it?
That inspires this kind of vitriol.
there is something that, like, in Illbleed that either unlocks this within a man or attracts this kind of man to it.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know. You know, I have faith that Crick is going to carry us through. I think Crick is worth at least 20 enemies that we may amass.
I still think we need more. If we do Duck Con and we meet Buffo, Buffo is a very powerful ally.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to having him in the Great War in the Sky. But like, I still feel like we need more than Crick, because Crick is old.
But Crick has a whole family. Also, like Crick is raising up a whole, he's basically like the Duggars, except on the force of good.
Like a compound. Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole shitload of Game of Thrones-esque intrigue in that family, though. Like,
no.
Crick's got like one dark son and one light son, and then like he's probably, you know, so I imagine that that's not a united front. Yeah. So maybe that's what we have to do. Like, eventually this podcast should just transition into like an audio drama about this thing. We've said, like, we've just done the first 100 episodes to set up the actual podcast that's about this cast of characters.
But it has to be like a side thing, though, because I want to continue doing this, because with every DOS game we do and with every like miniature auteur who, you know, moved on, like, we're going to have more of these with every game fact person who, you know, like what about that guy who, you know, dedicated the like, I want the guy who dedicated that fact to his dead aunt. Like, I want him, because yeah. That's a measure of sincerity. Like, he probably couldn't lend an awful lot of like physical force to us, but, you know, we need some heart, right?
It's a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
This guy just said he tried to make this fact as concise as humanly possible. There's a lot of like things you could do to make this slightly more concise. Omitting the Islamophobia would be one yep. step towards making it a little bit more on point, a little bit more about Illbleed.
Yep. Oh, man, oh man. Yeah, so right. I wanted to bring that to your attention. It was like 5 minutes before we were recording, and I was like, oh, I haven't looked at Game Facts yet, and I just opened up this guy's because of his username, and boy oh boy.
Because I did look at Game Facts, but I looked at the first one. I didn't do my deep dive. I looked around and I looked at the message boards and the reviews and stuff. I'm like, yeah. Oh, everybody's just giving this, you know, the credit it deserves. I just missed that one specific fact.
Yeah.
You know? That's very special. So yeah, thank you, Brandon.
Thank you very much.
And Daigle, no thank you.
No. I'll give him a go fuck yourself. I hope that in the intervening 12 years, you have, you know, tried to get better. But
yeah. Yeah, I also hope so. Especially if you're going to be an actor.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just, you know, go around Hollywood spouting that shit. Yeah. Anywho, what do we do next time?
Next time we are doing kind of an oddity. This is another Sam Bear joint, Bert's Dinosaurs.
Yeah, Bert's Dinosaurs, which is pretty slight. So there's we'll talk about that. Yep. Not a whole lot to Bert's Dinosaurs.
Nope.
It's a good title though. If you want to help the show, you can rate and review us on iTunes and or support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah.
It is appreciated and will help us out.
We have a Facebook page. It is facebook.com/abjectsuffering. You can go there and see pictures of me as a clown baby.
Yep. You can see the origin.
And also see me pictures as a clown high schooler. And also a picture.
Just continue.
Good.
As a clown adult.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you can see his clown wife and his clown kids. Clown house and his clown car.
There's also a picture of a chubby 12-year-old Cole playing his Dreamcast on Christmas morning.
Yep, playing Illbleed.
No, I think it's
writing screeds about 9/11.
I think it's Tony Hawk, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all that stuff you can do, along with keep on listening and telling friends if you're sure they're down. Oh God, please be sure they're down.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah. Until next time, how do we end this show?
Umbasa.
Umbasa.